now, folks, ain't this an extra Halloween treat for you? Two episodes of the illustrious Hot Toy Cast in a month? Has a spell been cast on me? Are Jeff and Mike possessed? No, we just happen to have a great guest on us today, and a company has been making some very impressive horror movie-based figures, so we just had to have them on. The company is, of course, Caustic Plastic and Infinite Statues and Collectibles, and with us here on our big, expensive, illustrious studio couch is one Fabio Varesi. This is, of course, episode 77 of the Hot Toy Cast. And welcome to episode 77 of the Hot Toy Cast, a high-end extra podcast for high-end people where we discuss all things high-end action figures from the likes of Hot Toys, Sideshow Collectibles, Mondo, and Caustic Plastic, of course. With me today is my usual two co-hosts, my usual two culprits, Michael W. Crawford. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine.
Thank you very much, Mike, for joining us. And one Jeffrey Parker. How are you doing today, sir? And
this... I'm feeling very good, very good. Well, it's unseasonably warm here
today. It is unseasonably warm.
I don't know about where you are, but yeah. That's global warming for you.
That's global warming for you. I, of course, and I have been poisoned by an apple earlier on this week, so I'm not feeling my best, and I literally had to do the intro about three times today just to get it right, and that probably still sounds like a mess. But we're not here to talk about that, because I'm hoping today's talk will provide us some respite from some of my ailings, and today we are joined by, as I said, Fabio Varesi. Did I say that right, Fabio?
Hi, guys. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you very much today. Have you been enjoying Halloween so far?
Yes, of course. As always.
what is Halloween like in Italy? Because we're speaking to you from Italy now.
If Jeff told that it's quite hot in his country, so just imagine in Italy, it's a very hot Halloween.
So where are you based? Are you in Sicily or are you up more north?
I am in Rome.
You were in Rome. Okay, middle ground. Nice.
Yes, in the middle.
I've never been to
hotter than hell.
I've been working in Verona quite a bit this year. Well, Gardaland, that kind of whole area, and up near Sirmione. So, yeah, it's a country I love.
Thank you. I've not been to Rome. I've been to Sicily, and I absolutely love Sicily. And I toured all around Sicily, and I tell you where I fell in love with Fabio. I fell in love with Syracuse in Sicily.
Oh, really?
Syracuse. I just love that town. I just clicked with it. There was something about it. Of course, it's steeped in history as well, of course, but there was just something about that town. But we're not here to talk about like tourist destinations, are we? We're here to talk about some amazing, lovely new horror action figures. And now you guys have been going now since 2008. But you kind of kicked off in 2008. And of course, there was a big TV show at the time. In 2008, that was Spartacus, and you guys were a little bit inspired by that. And Jeff actually still has some, don't you, Jeff? You still have this. This is the like some of the earlier releases for Shroud of Door from Caustic.
Well, I mean, back in the day, you guys were really famous for doing kind of really historically accurate kind of representations of Roman legionnaires and gladiators and stuff. And I got a couple of your early gladiators, which you very kindly sent to me at the time. And I remember reviewing them and talking to you at the time, Fabio, about kind of likenesses and all kinds of stuff. And I have a friend that works in the film industry as a historical consultant and walker. And I remember showing him the figures just to get some feedback, and he was blown away by them. These are so accurate.
Those are the seamless ones too at the time, weren't they?
No. They were jointed figures. They were really well designed, articulated figures. They were kind of really taking on the true type at the time. But the real sort of selling point that all the armor etc was made of real metal, and it was really kind of finely crafted. For the time it was pretty outstanding stuff. And pretty much did it.
Thank you, Jeff. I think that in 2008, yes, we started with gladiators and the ancient Roman stuff, and I think that was the only one doing the metal part, totally craft made, was not industrial parts, was made in Italy near the Como Lake from an Italian artisan. I think that never ever other company after us made craft made the metal parts. Now everything is very industrial, so it's diecast part. But at that time we didn't use diecast. We use a mix, a leg of metal with a mix of stain and copper, and we made also the electroplate with real bronze holder.
Wow. So it was. I mean, this stuff really did look outstanding. I mean, you know, it still does. I mean, they're two figures that I can assure you are never leaving my collection. And I remember at about the same time, ATI did a really cool one. But again, it was, you know, all the armor was plastic. And it was very nice, but it just, yeah, at the time, it just didn't compare because this stuff was real museum grade kind of artisan stuff.
And Thank you.
Yeah, I've got a few of them too.
Yeah, and of course, yeah, you guys have actually had some of your stuff on display in museums as well. You've had stuff on display at the Palazzi, and you've had stuff displayed at the Stadio Domiziano Museum of Rome.
That's right. Yeah, you're turning on memories in my brain. Yes, that's right. A long time ago, the Stadio Domiziano as some model of our own collection, and also some place in Tuscany, they have some museum showing. That's right. Yeah, it was the golden age of action figure from my point of view.
So it's funny because I remember back at that time there were a lot of companies, Hot Toys included, who were kind of doing, for want of a better word, generic figures of people, but giving them a vague celebrity likeness. And I remember at the time thinking, these two gladiators, the Eustatius and the Celadus, I thought they really look like people. You know, when you can tell when something's generic and when something isn't. I remember asking you at the time, you said, well, officially not really, but one looked quite a lot like an Italian footballer.
Francesco
Totti. And Celadus looked a little bit like a WWF wrestler, so, you know, with the name Couture for a surname.
Yeah, that's right.
And,
that's right.
It was quite funny at the time because, again, you know, you can't mention these names, but, you know, it's kind of, you're thinking, yeah, if you want to kitbash something, there's something in there.
Yeah, that's. I remember that we, for all the time that we made Ancient Roman, we always try to be slightly inspired from such a player or actor or sportsman, just slightly inspired, was not a carbon actor.
Yeah, that really does give you the chance to make it a lot more lifelike and realistic when you've got somebody you're kind of working off of rather than just a generic head sculpt.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, that was like 16 years ago and stuff like that. So, you know, 16 years on and here we are.
Let's keep in mind that Jeff and I have done this for a little while.
You have indeed. Yeah, you've been... You guys been around the block?
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't like to say I was there at the inception, but, you know, when that thing cropped up on Facebook the other day about, you know, what was the figure that got you into this hobby? And let's face it, for me, it was Action Man. For Mike, probably G.I. Joe stroke, you know, whoever else was in the Americas. The Americans are way ahead of us on action figures.
What got you into the action figure business, Fabio? Tell us a little bit. What was your inspiration for kind of getting involved? And just because it's a, you know, to take on 1/6, it is a big swing. It's a big responsibility. There's so many variables with 1/6. I mean, I design a lot of action figures myself, but, you know, I've only designed a handful of 1/6, and there's so many. There's a lot more variables at 1/6, especially when you're getting into your arena where they're such high end with materials and fine tailoring and all the rest of it. What dared you to do this?
Yeah, well, okay. I think that I was probably one of the first in Europe doing this, because actually I started my business in 1/6 in 1999. With a company named Twisting Toys. At that time, I remember the only competitors was Dragon Model and 21st Century Toys. And with Twisting Toys, probably if you Google Twisting Toys, we made Italian Second War figure. So military figure from the Second War.
All right, yeah, cool.
I think that if you search online, you can still find something. So yes, actually, 25 years that I am in this business. And why I started, because I really love you know G.I. Joe, the one of in Europe when I was young, I am 52 years old, when I was young, Action Man was made in Europe in sub-license by a company,
Action Man and Action Force.
And the company was not Hasbro, but was Polysteel. Mm-hmm. That was, I think, company. Maybe?
Palatoy.
It was Palatoy in the UK. It was Palatoy in the UK, but maybe in Italy it would have been maybe a different company name. Would it?
Yeah, exactly. In each country has a different name, the companies that made this license. And I remember that my brother has this beautiful, beautiful, we're talking about the 70s, this beautiful figure of a German officer and a British soldier. And I remember I was very young. I remember him playing with this lovely action figure. Then when I started to be a bit older, well, hold on, when I started to be a mature person, mature.
Yeah, don't never say old, just say mature. Refined. Fine.
Yeah.
Come on, all of us are older, but I don't think any of us are mature.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
Sorry, man. Was the late 90s that I started to make my own custom figure of Italian soldier using the Dragon model body and making my own stuff. So the helmets, the weapons, the uniform, and so on.
Yeah.
And in nine and in nine it was 1997. Then in 1999, during a show, a guy of a company approached me and say, "Oh, I like your stuff." I remember I had a booth with my own custom figure of Italian army. I say, "I like to do this as a Dragon model, so proper production. Do you wanna be our artisan?" Because at the beginning that started as a prototype maker, and so this was the beginning. So actually, it was a way to have my own collection of the figure that I like, that and then nobody else was producing at the time.
You were making what you wanted to see for yourself, I guess.
Yes, I think so.
Cool. And like how did the company then start then, like in 2008? How you obviously, because you got a good crew you here. You've got obviously you got Indigo Gill as your 3D sculptor. You've got Dario Barbara, hey Dario, doing his wonderful master painter stuff. And you got Sean Dabbs doing the 3D sculpting, and Daniel Angelozzi,
Angelotti, right.
Angelozzi.
And
Do you
now
see,
we
I'm
have
trying to do my Italian accent in there as well. You know, I'm trying to emphasize the Italianness of it. Is there, Jeff and Mike love it when I do stuff like that.
but there looks like a couple extra sculpture working with us. Is one is Rocco Tartamella
Oh,
that is
Rocco! I know Rocco.
doing the he did the London After Midnight
Ah,
and
yes.
did Frankenstein, Boris Karloff.
Oh,
And
very good.
also now we are collaborating with Edward Petretti, the Beastmaster. I don't know if you know him.
No, what? A guy called the Beastmaster or the brand Beastmaster?
No, it's if you search for if you type on Instagram Beastmaster Edward Petretti, you will find his job. It's pretty popular, the custom figure, pretty
Oh,
popular.
cool. I will be sure. I
You
will
have
be.
to check his stuff. Pretty nice 3D.
I was getting all excited. I thought you were making Beastmaster figures
No.
from the movie Beastmaster, from the movie Beastmaster itself. But yes, you just mentioned there. Obviously, now let's get into some of the new releases now that you've been doing and stuff. Because you've got some. But I gotta ask though. Obviously, there seems to be quite a gap though. I mean, did you guys go on hiatus for a few years at all? Because obviously, or have you been? Forgive me, but have you been constantly releasing figures since 2008, or did you guys take a break for a little while?
No, we never. Because from 2008 to 2000, let's say that from 2008, from the beginning of the COVID era, we worked only on Hansen paint figure. So we made so many Romans, Centurions. We made also a Celtic line figure inspired by Irish and Scottish Celtic warriors.
Celtic, yay.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah.
You know, I get me in for some of that stuff. I'm Irish. I love all that stuff. Yeah, and so I mean, so we got some lovely. All right, because we're going to start going through some of the new releases now, and just like let's just go through some of the ones now that we have on pre-order. But Mike, you've got your eye on some of these here now, don't you? You've got some of these are a little bit before my time. Some of them aren't, and I'm familiar with all of them. But London, I have to say, London After Midnight. Well, it's a fantastic looking figure. But Mike, go please
Are you implying that figures from the 1950s are not before my time?
Come on. London After Midnight.
And London After Midnight is like another, 1930s, for God's sakes.
Think it was 20s, wasn't it? It was a
No,
silent
it's not. Is
film.
it silent?
I'm pretty sure it was the 20s. It's the famous lost film, isn't it?
Right,
It's a
but I
lost
didn't realize
film,
it
yeah.
was silent.
From Lon Chaney from
Right.
1927, and the original movie was
Oh, it is a.
destroyed.
And it
Right.
is a Chaney Senior, that's right.
Yeah, Chaney
Yep,
Senior,
yep.
that's right.
Well, yeah, the London After Midnight, of course, I have the sideshow version in my collection as well as the sideshow quarter scale. So that's a figure that is really attractive to me. Let's talk a little bit more about those. You know, the decision to go with these dioramas in the deluxe sets, that's a really interesting decision that a lot of companies aren't doing. What drove you to add all those terrific extras?
Yeah, man.
I think that the reason is the same that I was telling Eamon at the beginning. I like to make things that nobody else is doing. Just because when I imagine a figure, I like to imagine inside a diorama. I'm not the kind of person that just plays in a dead off in a shelf just without nothing else. So I really like to give the feeling of the real movie scene or whatever that I think it's not just an optional, it's not like an accessory, is something that help to enter in the real feeling of the movie. Because I started, as I told you, I started my job as a model maker, as a prototype maker. So in my early stage when I was younger, I love to make model kit, like small airplanes, all these things. So I love to build the diorama by myself. So I remember when I was young, my little collection of tanks, cars, airplane or whatever. And I remember that the most funny part of doing model making was building the diorama. So probably is in my DNA. It's something that is my background, this love of diorama. So now that I have the opportunity to give something special, I actually have to try to stop myself because they are getting bigger and bigger. Now, in a few days, we'll reveal Frankenstein. Yeah, some days ago, I was checking with Dario, the painter, the work. I say, oh, this time I think I exaggerate because it's like a corner of the castle.
Oh, and I guess for Frankenstein, you're going to give Frankenstein a nice big juicy
Honestly,
diorama, are you?
it's too. I think it's a little bit too big this time, but
That's all.
I have to stop myself. I have to little be more careful design this. But until somebody will tell me, "Oh, Fabio, this is a crazy idea," I will keep doing. So
And again,
I think you will be very surprised.
I'm gonna claim ignorance against to some of this stuff, but you are picking some what I love about what you guys are doing is the licenses that you are picking are definitely some of the licenses that are like just how would I they're unlikely licenses like you
They're out of left field, aren't they?
they are out of left field and in a world consumed by Star Wars, DC, and Marvel, it is beyond refreshing to see some of these things, but I'm curious about your decision making in choosing somebody's especially stuff pre-70s. I'm just curious as to how you go along. And are things like the London After Midnight, are these things and the Phantom of the Opera, are these things part of your personal childhood as well, or are you just picking licenses that you like? Oh, this is a big IP. We think this would do well. What's your thinking behind picking these, in particular, London After Midnight and Phantom of the Opera, and of course we got the Hammer Horror figures, which I have as well, which are amazing. The Hammer Horror, we got the Van Helsing, and we got the Peter Cushing and the Christopher Lee Dracula as well. So, because are these movies you yourself maybe grew up with loving, or what's the inspiration for these choices?
Okay, no, because we don't have a camera, but maybe I can I can send you a picture. I have actually inked on my body Christopher Lee, Bela Lugosi, Nosferatu, and London After Midnight.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so you loved this stuff as a kid then.
Hardcore lover of horror movies, especially the old one, classic horror movies, and especially vampires movies. And London After Midnight actually is a vampire in the story. So I think that the reason is generally I always approach new IP because are movies that I love from my childhood. That's the reason why, not other reason. And I told you I am an hardcore fan of classic horror movies, so of course my first decision comes to horror movies. I am a fan of some kind of western like the spaghetti western.
Yeah.
For this reason, I'm doing Bud Spencer and Terence Hill, that was two Italian actor of the 70s that basically their movies invented the concept of spaghetti western. Mm-hmm. And John Wayne also, of course, because I remember when I was young, I remember my father always looking at the John Wayne movies.
Yeah, me too.
And so on. If you look all the other IP that we have, Toshiro Mifune, I mean, it was my hero when I was young, as the Ronin on Yojimbo. Or I think all that we have, Fonzie, when I was young in Italy, it was so popular at the days, so popular. I remember every time coming back from school, I was watching Happy Days. So I think this is the only reason. It comes back to my mind, memories of my childhood.
Yeah.
And is really my background. Of course, also Star Wars is my background. I'm a very big fan of Star Wars. But I'm not the kind of person to say, "Oh, let's do another Darth Vader." No, please, no.
Yeah,
yeah. I think for goodness' sake, this is what I'm saying. I think it's really lovely to see the varieties of license you got in here. And Jeff, you can talk about this next one now. This Phantom of the Opera.
Well, yeah. I mean, before we get onto that, I was going to say one of the things I think that is really stands companies, particularly when they're kind of starting. And it, you know, it was true of Sideshow. It was true of Hot Toys to a degree when they started out. Is that fanboys, you know, of which we are.
Yeah.
We love classic films. Everybody loves a classic one, but we also love cult films. We love the films that have kind of slipped under radar but have become kind of massive cult films almost despite themselves. And I think that some of the stuff that I'm seeing Caustic Plastic dip into at the moment is very similar to, like, you know, it's that kind of giving people what they want. It's like, yeah, okay, when you become a very big company, yeah, of course you're going to be delving into Star Wars and whatever, you know, Marvel, because it's a license to print money to a degree. But I think, you know, there's such a rabid audience out there gagging for this stuff. They want it, they've needed it, they've wanted it for years, and all of a sudden somebody's giving it to us. So yeah. Anyway, sorry, back to the question. What was that, Amy?
Phantom of the Opera.
Phantom of the Opera. Yeah, yeah. Well, again, it's another classic old black and white, you know, film. It's one of those films that, you know, we've all seen the image.
1925.
Yeah, when I was a kid growing up, I used to have, like, loads of old horror magazines, loads of old horror books. You know, I remember this one that was just all about horror from, like, from the beginning of cinema up till the present day, which at the time was probably in the mid-70s. And I used to pore over these books, and those pictures and those images became absolutely kind of printed into my brain. So it's kind of like years later seeing these classic films given the love. And, you know, Sideshow have done it years ago, but obviously quality and everything has moved on so much more in the last 20-25 years. So it's really refreshing to see companies like Caustic Plastic taking these really classic licenses and giving them a whole new breath of fresh air. And it must be, I would imagine, Fabio, to someone like you, that, you know, you were aware of that stuff, you saw it at the time, you probably bought some of it.
Yes,
but now it must be lovely to, like, be able to think, right, I can actually bring today's tech and kind of like artisan kind of like sensibilities to this stuff.
Yes, of course. I mean, for my point of view, is a dreaming as a dream that has come true, because this is my background. I love to see my collection. Personally, I'm a huge fan of Lon Chaney, because as I told you, I am a really hardcore fan of classic horror movie, and Lon Chaney, don't forget that Lon Chaney basically invented the prosthetics and makeup, because at that time Lon Chaney did his makeup by himself, and some basic invention of makeup that Lon Chaney introduced in the movies are still used today. So he is
pioneering techniques.
Yes, exactly. Many one. So all the parts, that all the prosthetic in, I think at that time he used a kind of latex. I don't remember exactly the name, but still today we copy what he invented.
Yeah.
100 years ago. That's the true story. So I love Lon Chaney. Phantom of the Opera was so scary, the makeup. London After Midnight, two reasons. When I was younger, I was also a lover of Gothic music, and it was an English band named London After Midnight. And I remember them, and then I started to, I was curious about where they get the name, and then I discovered this movie that unfortunately is now is one of the forgotten, lost movie, but you can still find many great pictures of the behind the backstage or whatever, and the makeup was just amazing. If you remember, that was great. Yes, for me, it's just a dream. I'm very happy.
Well, he comes with enough stuff. I mean, you've given him a piano, you've given him his like his easel stand, his seat, his violin, his hat, and everything. I mean, it's easy ones, a little wick and an inkwell. I mean, that's a lot. I see what you mean, yeah? You need to be restrained, I think, Fabio, on your...
You can always tell lines that have somebody behind them that really truly loves the license. They stand out from everything else.
Exactly, absolutely.
Probably. I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say, it's true. It's kind of like the Star Trek stuff that you're collecting, Mike. It's kind of like, you know, that whole stuff that you can just see the love that's gone into it. And I think with plastic, it's exactly the same. It's kind of like it's a labor of love. It's not just a necessity to create a product. It's to create the best product.
Exactly. Yep. I am totally agree. I think that today, I don't want to sound silly, but I think today the only two companies that they are doing this with so much love, it's my company, Calcium Plastic, and X06 with Star Trek, because they are so focused. I mean, I follow their post. I mean, I can understand their love. It's not a job; it's a love for Star Trek.
Yeah.
And so I love this kind of attitude. Of course, it's my same attitude.
Now, and the next one that we got coming up now is, of course, Toshiro from the movie Yojimbo. Again, another another older movie, but this figure I'm very excited about. This one's very, very, very cool. But I particularly noticed about this. Mike, you should be taking over this. Go on, you talk about this figure, please.
No, you go right ahead. You have more love for it.
Okay, cool.
Well, you know it better than I do.
It's absolutely, absolutely over. I still haven't, I need to do my whole Kurosawa thing. I need to get to chew through my Kurosawa movie, because it's just necessary viewing if you're I'm not to say I'm a cinephile, but I'd like to think I'm a little bit of a connoisseur of movies and stuff. So, you know, I'm kind of, every Saturday night, I'm kind of checking back movies that I should be watching, you know? And this is another one I should be watching, Yojimbo. And there's just this figure looks absolutely brilliant. I love the head sculpt. I love the actor. But what I'm particularly noticing is that you've got some sort of seamless looking wrists and arms going on there, Fabio. So tell us a little bit what's going on there with this Toshiro Mifune.
Of course, as you notice, one is inspired by Yojimbo, and one other in the samurai version is inspired by Red Sun. That if you never seen this movie, I really suggest. It's with Charles Bronson and Alain Delon.
Oh, cool.
Wow, it was very cool. It was the first ever movie with story between Western and Japan. So it was a story of a Japanese samurai in the old Wild West.
Oh, cool.
So you have to watch it, because it was,
I'll watch that. That sounds good.
Yeah, you have to check it. One of the technology introduction with Toshiro Mifune is the wristless peg arms, so you cannot see the wrist joint. That is something that I often hate in action figure, because they ruin quite a lot the realistic feeling. We already released very successfully with our Terence Hill action figure. If you search online, you will see a lot of beautiful picture of Terence Hill, the Western. Yes, we are going on with these things. If you notice, all our horror line is without wrist pack. So basically, we just make longer forearms that totally hide the pegs. So once you place the outfit, basically, it's impossible to see the pegs. This is one of the little technology improvements that we like and we are proud of. What else can I say? I love all the Asian and martial arts movie. So Toshiro Mifune was another of my childhood hero, honestly. Yeah, and I love Akira Kurosawa as well. When we made this figure of the Shiro Mifune, we made in collaboration with the nephew of Mifune himself.
Wow, cool.
Yes, indeed, the logo is the family crest. If you see in his kimono, there is a crest. It's not the one of the movie Yojimbo. It's the one of Toshiro Mifune.
Oh, that's nice. Toshiro Mifune. That's a nice addition. Yeah. Was that something they specified to have to ask you to put on it?
Partially the nephew, because the nephew was the one that suggested us the movie to get inspiration, because it seems that it was the two movies that the father, that the grandfather liked much more. And so when we designed, he showed us a lots of original stuff of the grandfather, and one of these was the family crest. I say it would be a great idea, place the family crest, the real family crest. So we love it, of course, the idea, and so we decided to replace the crest that you can see in the movie with the original Mifune family crest.
That's excellent. Okay, great.
That's funny because you're talking about the crossover between sort of Japanese and Western cinema, and it's that classic old story, isn't it, about John Ford and Akira Kurosawa, and how during their careers they repeatedly copied each other. They were kind of such fans of each other's work that, whether it's the Seventh Samurai and the Magnificent Seven, there are various other versions where you can draw parallels. But they were both people working in different countries and different continents in different languages, but they both respected each other's work enough to basically remake each other's films time and time again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
very,
that's right.
Very cool. And I mean, as I said, one of the things I loved when I got the horror figures was one of the things that went, and it went to something I kind of want to go into a little bit detail later after Mike maybe goes through Missing in Action for us, was some of the tailoring, because some of the tailoring on these figures as well. But let's go on to Mission Impossible, because I just want to get to the pre-orders. The figures are up for pre-order first, so we can kind of pimp those out just a little bit and kind of get those up. But Mike, do you want to continue on there and talk about Chuck Norris from Missing in Action, which is actually a movie I loved as well. So go, Mike.
Now, this is an interesting choice for, you know, we have never really seen a whole lot of Chuck Norris action figures in 6 scale, which is kind of surprising, because he has been in only a million action movies.
Yep.
But it's just not been in a license. Any of those licenses really have ever been picked up. What brought you to Missing in Action?
Well, one of the first reasons that I really love Vietnam themed movie, like Platoon, the Full Metal Jack, and so on. Also, the first Rambo, I really love it.
Yeah, First Blood is such a good movie.
First Blood, yeah, the first movie was amazing. And I really love, not all, but some of Chuck Norris movies. Of course, I am an hardcore fan of the one with Bruce Lee, when it was the Karateka. Lovely. And I really like...
Remember when he used to... When Chuck Norris had body hair.
Yes. And also Texas Ranger, I remember. Because once again, was part of my childhood. So when we came with the idea to make an homage to Norris, we have this some movies. We started the collaboration with Metro Goldwyn Myers, MGM. And then in their catalog, we see many of them. But one of these was mixing my two laws, and one it was Vietnam War. So I really also love the challenge to make properly some Vietnam War weapons.
Old school M60s and M16s, yeah.
Yes. I think the M16 60 and 16 our version are really, really, really good. I hope that Sony will have one to make a review, and we put a lot of effort to do it as much accurate as possible. And so yes, it was a challenge. I like to make this the jungle outfit of Vietnam, and all the stuff that is in the movie.
This is specifically from Missing in Action 2, isn't it, Fabio, as well? Because there's a Missing in Action movie, but then there's the second one is like the best one, isn't it? And it's kind of it takes place before the first one. Have I got that right?
I think you're right. The second movie Missing in Action 2 is much better of the first one.
Yes.
Why actually we had the opportunity to make all the three of them, also the third one. But from the point of view of outfit, we prefer much more the first one.
Yeah.
Because in the second one is basically is very damaged weathered outfit because it was in a prison.
Yes, of course.
So it was just natural. We would decide which is the best outfit between the three movies, and so we decided to go for the first one.
Excellent. That's excellent. And you get lots of goblins with this guy too. You get a couple of parts. No major diorama with this one though, Fabio.
No, because to be honest, don't forget we always make very, very limited edition.
Mm-hmm.
Missing in Action is just 1,000 pieces. That for action figures is nothing. I mean, if you think that company like Hot Toys or Inheart make 10,000 pieces every time, 1,000 is just nothing. So because we have this new weapon, totally with totally new mold and so on, so many accessories, the TNT, the bombs, the knife, and so on, it was already very, very, very expensive. It started to be too much expensive.
Right.
So we think maybe this time was not very wise. Also, you have to make a diorama of Chuck Norris. I will be forced to make a piece of forest.
Yeah.
And
get messy.
What we had in mind at the beginning, we started to design something, okay, with barbed wire and all these things, but it doesn't come in our eyes as not perfect. If you look carefully in the promotional picture, you will see in that. Is inside a diorama, is not made with computer graphics. So the forest that you see is a diorama that we build for the photo session.
It looks great.
Okay. If you see the promotional video, no artificial intelligence or Photoshop, nothing. We just make a proper forest diorama. So we know how much effort we spend to do it. And at the end, when we made it, you see, it's not a great idea to make something like this. As a product,
I think.
And also, I'd have to say, Fabio, I mean, when you look at some of the more kind of, detailed dioramas that you created, they're very specific to the character, the piano, the candelabra, the stake, the coffin, whatever
they
it is. They're very specific. Whereas, a vague jungle diorama, it's not beyond the wit of most people to create that.
Yeah.
And also,
stick him in the garden. He'll be fine.
Exactly. And there are companies out there who are giving us dioramas. I'll mention their names. Who are giving us piles of rocks.
Yes.
And it's kind of you look at it and you're thinking, how much? It's a pile of rocks. I could just go and get a pile of rocks. Or I could go to any kind of like a pet shop and buy stuff that you put in an aquarium and create that within seconds. So it's kind of like, unless it's specific to the character and really kind of detailed, I totally get where you come from. This is just a very easy kit patch.
What I love about this Missing in Action figure, though, is as well for me personally, is just I find it very evocative. It's straight out of Vietnam. Like, it's a very... I think this one is going to do very well for you, Fabio. Aside from the fact that it's Chuck Norris, it's just a great-looking 80s action hero Vietnam figure. It just works. It just looks right. Do you know what I mean? It looks great. Because, I mean, Missing in Action movie, it was a decent movie, but it was a VHS movie, you know? It wasn't like a big blockbuster or anything like that, but it was a VHS movie. It was one of those ones we grew up on, Mike. So, you know, it's I don't know. What do you think of this one? I mean, I love this Chuck Norris. I think he's great.
Yeah, it's an excellent looking figure. It really is. And it really does evoke that, you know, some of his best part of his career. Where he was actually, you know, more mainstream.
Yeah, exactly. Did you... Did you
I
work with him, Fabio, on this one?
I think it just totally captures an era, doesn't it? It really is that, no disrespect, but here in the UK, kind of straight to video, kind of like what they used to call it. But, it's just one of those kind of action movies from the 80s that everybody loved but never really got the respect it probably should have got.
Yeah. No, Fabio, do you work with Chuck Norris on this? Did he himself sign off on this, or is this through MGM?
No, this time was using MGM. Then we got in touch with his manager because he would like to give us a present, one of the samples.
Ah, yes.
They introduced us him. We always offer him a proper collaboration to make other IP, just with him. But at the moment, we still don't have nothing in our hands. So let's wait. let's wait and see. I mean, at the moment, we are happy that we have made this Vietnam themed figure. As what I seen when we gave to him the sample, he's a very nice person.
Yeah.
In person.
Actually, he was happy with it.
Yeah. Very nice. And I'm agreed that Visiting in Action is not a blockbuster at all, of course. But
it's a movie we all saw, though. That's the thing. It's a movie we all saw at a certain age and stuff like that.
I was and like I said, it's that all important word. It's a cult. It's a cult film.
Yeah, that's right.
I think Invasion USA would be another one, wouldn't it? Invasion USA would be another good Chuck Norris figure to have, I think. Just because of the movie poster so iconic, you know, in a pair of denim. It's so denim-y with two Uzis. Come on.
It was much more famous. I think Invasion USA was at the and is much more famous than Missing in Action. It was not our cup of tea for the same reason. I mean, Invasion USA is in the same catalog of FGM, so we can easily do it. But tell you, often it's just because I have this great memory of the Vietnam War movies when I was young. It was so normal for me. Was my background Missing in Action, so it was easy to choose.
Now, of course, you've also done previously. I've also got the Rocky Balboa figures. Now, these Rocky figures you're putting out are absolutely stunning. I have to say, Fabi, the Rocky Balboa, the Debt Collector Rocky Balboa with the whole diorama and the works, the two turtles and everything, the dog, everything. Stunning, stunning figure. Now, you guys work directly with Sylvester Stallone on some of these, don't you? Because you've got
this is true.
You've got Cobra. Is a Stallone Cobra with you? Is that Stallone on his own?
For Sly Stallone shop we made. We used the Caustic Plastic team as advisor and production management and production direction and so on. But I can tell that basically are 100% Mr. Stallone product. I mean, he decided everything, what he like, how to do it. So for me, I was very proud to be part of the team that made it. Yeah. Very proud.
They're excellent figures. They're absolutely
good. Yeah, for me, also a great opportunity as a form of advertise. So I'm very happy that the guys of Sly Stallone Shop, that is Nick Cordasco, that is the co-owner of Sly Stallone Shop, together with Mr. Stallone in person, gave me this opportunity. I don't know why, maybe because I am Italian.
Well, actually, speaking to that, actually, let's come back and just take a quick commercial break. Let's hear from our sponsor. I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you about the made in Italian thing. So, quick commercial break, folks. Back into sex.
Looking to find collectible figures at low cost with superior customer service? Fanboy Collectibles is one of the largest retailers of high-end collectibles on the east coast of the USA. Carrying a full array of Hot Toys, Enter Bay, Sideshow Collectibles 3A and all the top manufacturers. Domestic and international packages ship daily, all fully insured with tracking number and securely packed. Getting it to you as quickly is important, but not as important as your collectibles arriving in pristine condition. Are you looking to pre-order an item to guarantee you don't miss it when it's released? Well, Fanboy Collectibles does that too. If you got a question about an item, give them a call, shoot them an email, or even leave them a message on their Facebook page. Fanboy Collectibles is available full-time to respond to you and to get your items to you as quickly as possible. Anyone can make a sale. Fanboy Collectibles knows the key to being successful is repeat customers. That comes from doing the right thing by you and making customer services their priority. Fanboy Collectibles. For some it's a hobby, to them it's an obsession.
And we're back. Yeah, so we just left you off there. We're saying, and I was going to say, the Made in Italy thing. Now, I don't know how many other reviewers lock onto this, but I locked onto that because I love seeing that. I love seeing something that this is a product out of Italy. And I think it's something that's I want to see more of. And it's again, I have to clarify this because people on the internet are crazy. I'm not being Zionist or nationalistic or anything like that. I just love seeing, other countries. Hey, look, we can make stuff too. It's not always just about farming stuff out to China who make amazing things, but to see an Italian company and that Italian tailoring now, Fabio. Mm. This seriously, I took out that Dracula out of the box and I was the cape just hung. It was weighty. It hung. It wasn't creased. We've had Batman capes recently that don't do anything. We've had all other kinds of capes that don't do anything from other companies. But this Christopher Lee Dracula with the cape, I took and I just started spinning, just started rotating the figure. And the way that cape moved, you can see it in my YouTube video, actually, the Hot Toy Cast YouTube channel. Check it out. You can see how well that cape moves. And just and the fur and the tailoring on, oh my God, on Van Helsing's jacket, Fabio. Please tell us about some of that there now. And after that, then Mike can take over then and start talking about some of that Maestro line for us. Go.
Well, first of all, thank you. I mean, I'm happy that you noticed that we place so much effort on tailoring.
It really is exceptional, man. Like, exceptional.
It's not like the Italians aren't famous for it.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. Famous Italian tailoring. Best food in the world, too.
Thank you. Yeah, should be two reasons, probably. First of all, as I told you, when I started this job in 1999, my background was from model making, but also, I told you, I started doing my own custom figure, selling by myself in the 1997. And when I made custom, I mean totally built from scratch. So I was tailoring my own uniform for the custom figure.
Mm-hmm.
I know a
like
bit
stitching
about
it yourself and everything, like you're needle and thread, getting down there and needle and threading.
Yeah, of course I did. In the beginning, 25 years ago, I did everything by myself. The whip, cool. And everything. I told you I have a background of model making, so was okay for me. And also, yeah, probably I think it's in Italian DNA, these things of searching some kind of beauty in the outfits, in tailoring. I mean, it's common here. I never think about this, say, oh, Italians are good to make outfit, but maybe it's true. I mean there are so many Italian brands that are so well known in worldwide with of outfits, luxury outfit and so on. So I always try to do as best as possible, but also searching for the proper fabric. I mean, I'm really, really picky about this point of view.
Mm-hmm.
When we try an outfit, we try many, many different kind of fabric to get the real feeling that we like. And I remember that was one of my obsession from my very early stage when I started this business, searching for the right material. I remember especially when I was young and I started doing the Second War temp figure, you know, to find a correct khaki color or the gray green. The Italian army has a very difficult kind of fabric.
Mm-hmm.
I remember so many hours spent checking, trying, using color to dye the fabric to make the proper color. So it's something that I spent so many years testing, checking, and probably I also think that because at the beginning I was tailoring this stuff by myself, today when I go out at the factory and I ask for a change or give input or give feedback, I really know what I mean because I made it personally. Thank you about Van Helsing, because Van Helsing is very in the movie Peter Cushing has an amazing tailored outfit.
It's awesome. It's wicked. I'd wear this.
The movie was amazing. I would like to try to do it as much accurate as possible as the movie, so we place so many layers of outfit, so the shirt and the
waistcoat,
gilet, and exactly,
and the scarf,
and also I think for Van Helsing, we spent like 7 months doing the prototype of the outfit, because I remember we tried so many times to make it perfect. It's the same about the cape of Bela Lugosi or Dracula. It's Dracula cape must be perfect, of course. It's trademark. The Dracula cape is the trademark of Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we spent so much effort to do it properly. You mentioned other companies that didn't do it, didn't do it on Batman properly. I don't know why. I mean, could be several reasons. I don't know.
Maybe just not enough in the R&D department. Quick fix. Who knows? Who knows? But I guess meticulousness pays off, doesn't it? If you love a thing, you're going to be meticulous about it, as opposed to, you know, you can always tell when like both Jeff and Mike have already said, you know, you can always tell when someone loves a thing, but and someone's jobbing it in or phoning it in, as we would say. But we're clocking away on the time here, Mike. So do you want to start kicking in there on this? This is very exciting now, so I'm going to let Mike take over on this one. Mike.
Yeah, this is an exciting announcement, this whole Maestro line, where you're kind of going into this clearly area where some other companies have been dabbling and setting themselves up for the last year or two, with more of the rooted hair, rolling eyeballs, handmade production, high-quality costumes, especially real leather. Which is something that collectors have always complained about when they don't get real leather. Yep. The pleather tends to deteriorate in just a few years.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the Maestro line and what plans you have for it. There's some really cool licenses here you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, yeah. Yes, of course, from some point of view, we get inspiration from Hinhart that started to make, as an industrial process, the rooting gear. But also from toys that starting the artisan line.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the reason was maybe not all of you, not all the collector knows, but as Himon told, our master painter Dario Barbera, if you check his biography, he's one of the pioneer of rooted hair. He started doing rooted hair in 2012.
Ah.
I mean, very, very few artists doing the rooted hair using this kind of wool that simulate real hair.
Yeah.
As far as I know, I think it was one of the first Dario doing this kind of rooted hair. And often when I go in his workshop, he keep doing by himself like one of a kind model. Keeping rooting, and to be honest, I'm not joking. It's like years the Dario say me, why we don't do rooting gear? And I always told him, it's very complex. I mean, it could be very expensive. And I told him, can you imagine how much could be expensive doing in a factory? And then when Hinhart start to doing, I mean, they solve the problem. They sell at $600. So, I mean,
yeah, that's kind of the thing. Yeah. I mean, is that the problem? I have to ask, will you guys be looking at that kind of price point as well?
We'll try to make maybe a little bit cheaper, okay. But of course, will be a luxury line.
Yes,
because it is really expensive doing rooting gears.
Yeah.
But basically, it's totally handcraft.
Yeah.
So then we start. Okay, we can make an evolution. What Hinhart and Otoys are doing right now.
Yes.
So in my mind, it comes two weak point of them, that they keep using pea leather. I mean, Hinhart is not real leather. It's not genuine leather. All that.
No,
stuff.
I just got Aragorn, and I noticed that with the straps and stuff. Those straps on things like
the
quiver.
No, they're not leather.
No, those are going to rot away at some point.
Ah, gosh, I've got him on the way as well.
I'm not joking. Me too. I have an Hinhart because I like Gandalf. Then when I see Gandalf, I say, okay, I spent a lot of money to get this figure. And say, what the customers will think about this when in a couple of years it will start to disintegrate?
Mm-hmm.
Because this will happen.
It's good. I
mean, yeah. So people spend like $700 on something that probably they have to change their boots, change the belt, change everything.
When you're spending that kind of money, you want something to last, you know. It's, you know, like I said, luxury items are designed to last. Usually. That's what usually means to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Everything has a sell-by date, but yeah.
I know, but it's a little...
For me, it was a selling point. So I think, okay, generally, when we make outfit... I mean, from my early stage, also from the Hansen Troman, of course, also caustic plastic used till yesterday, pea leather, okay, fake fox leather, mm-hmm. Echo leather, all this kind of leather. But all the time we made prototypes, we make with genuine leathers. So I know exactly how to do properly. with genuine leathers, because all prototypes are all made in genuine leathers. Then we shift to P leather for a question of cost, of course. Mm-hmm. It's much more expensive doing genuine leather. And to be honest, every time I have in my house my prototypes all made with genuine leathers, when I saw them, say, oh, they're much more cool than P leather. So it was the next step in my mind was okay, let's start. If we make this Maestro line, it's a luxury line, let's not cut any corner.
Yes.
I want just to have perfect at this point. I mean, it's luxury, it's expensive, so let's do it properly.
Yeah. I like
so
that.
Why do something with rooted hair that costs a lot of money?
Only to shortchange on the leather jacket or whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. And there's three amazing licenses you've announced as well for this new Maestro Estrella d'Or. Obviously, would I be correct in thinking that you have more licenses to announce later on down the line, Fabio? Because right now we've got the Crow, which is amazing.
I have to say, the one I'm most excited about when I saw this was like, oh my God, are we going to get Bowie?
Are we going to get
Jared from Labyrinth? It's kind of like, and you've got to get those tight stripy pants and the bulge, right? But we won't go too far into that. But no, it's
Labyrinth is my the one that's got me excited.
That really got me excited because my eldest daughter, the very first sort of proper birthday party she had, it was movie themed, and she went as Jareth, and it was just kind of like. It's just a family favorite film. So when I saw that, I thought, oh my God, that is not just a necessity for me, it's a necessity for the family.
I totally agree. I mean, David, first of all, because I am a rocker, I love David Bowie.
Seen him live three times.
I have you, Jeff. Wow.
Yeah.
You're very lucky. I unfortunately never seen him in person.
Yeah.
But I love him as a musician. I love him and I love him as an actor because I remember The Anger when he made the movie with the vampires. I don't know if you remember
The Man Who Fell to Earth.
The Hunger.
Yeah, The Hunger was amazing. It was one of my favorite vampire movies ever. It was so perfect. I just remember him as a perfect vampire. And also Labyrinth. I mean, because I am really in love with five fantasy movies. Labyrinth was the one of Jim Henson's creation. I remember all his puppets. It was amazing. He's a perfect movie. Even today, if you look at him, this movie, it still looks so modern. Special effect.
It's pretty tight, isn't it? Still looking.
The story was amazing. The actors was amazing. So when I have this opportunity, when they introduced me Jim Henson Company to make a project, the first things that come in my mind: why the hell nobody ever made a proper action figure of David Bowie on this movie? Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Yeah. I can understand. It's very complex. Because for his hair. I mean, let's say it's a pain in the ass.
I also know he's massively, even though obviously he certainly passed away, I know his estate are massively protective of his image, hugely protective of his image. I know he left in his will that he would never be a hologram, he'd never be this, he'd never be that. It's fascinating. I remember X06, you know, we don't like to mention them, but back in the day had some amazing prototypes in the line. Molecule 8. Had some really cool prototypes in the system, but yeah, it went hugely bad.
So you were talking about the hairdo there, Fabio. What? Tell us how you're going to manage the hairdo on.
Yeah, because this is a true story. Of course, every time you get a license between seeing the contract, I mean, from the deal, say, okay, I like to do it, let's make a deal. And then the real deal, it passed many months. David Bowie in Labyrinth, the Goblin King, was one of the main reasons I started to think, oh, let's do it. New line that can make root hair. Because
right, okay.
My idea is it would be just perfect with root hair. It's the most perfect figure to be done with root hair.
Yeah, and it's good. It's a good example to show off what you guys can do.
Exactly. And then I spoke with Dario, say, we can do it. I said, of course, we'll be complex, but yes, it's a challenge, but yes, no problem, let's do it. So we start to this idea, and the idea start to grow up, say, okay, we need other license that could be the root, the basis of this maestro line. And then there comes in our mind these other two great movies of the 80s and 90s, that was The Crow, Brandon Lee, and Conan the Barbarian, because both of them have amazing long hairs in the movie.
Yep.
So I say, oh, that would be perfect. We're just perfect. Mm-hmm. And especially The Crow, he has the full outfit in leather. So I say, oh, would be great.
Again, a great showpiece of what you guys can do. So yeah.
All the things start to, like a puzzle, start to connect and give a much more wider views of what we have in mind. And so all of them were part of our steps to decide and build this maestro line. Let's say that this first three license are just perfect for maestro line. So when we'll announce new maestro line, we have in mind that should be something like this. I cannot tell you right now which be the fourth one, because we are still have to sign the contract. But let's keep in mind, will be something similar. So with long hairs and with a kind of tailoring,
four words for you. Rocky Horror Picture Show. I would kill for a high-end Rocky Horror Picture Show line.
This is a true story. We started approaching Disney because Horror Picture Show is in the Fox catalog. And the Fox catalog was bought from Disney. It's now like, I think, 3 years, something like this. The 20th Century Fox is now part of Disney catalog. I remember that when... this is a really true story. When they introduced us 3 years ago to Disney, we went to them with three ideas. One was the Junior Frankenstein, the one of Mel Brooks. The other was Die Hard. And the third one was Rocky Horror Picture Show. But unfortunately, none of them is available because they don't have the talent likeness. None of them. So we can make a t-shirt, we can make mugs, but we cannot make action figure. That's unfortunately. Maybe these things will change. But these things will change.
Well, I mean, we live in a world now where old actors like Clint Eastwood are finally getting on board and understanding, oh my goodness, I can be immortalized in an action figure, and this is actually really cool. They won't look at it as a doll or look down upon it and stuff like that. And I think when we saw Clint Eastwood siding up at Sideshow, I found that very inspiring. And then, of course, you know, I can't help but feel that Clint was inspired by Stallone a bit on that one, and say, oh my god, well, Stallone's going to do it. I'm going to get in on this stuff. But for me, the big brand license, because Mike and Jeff have talked about the other, the Crow and Labyrinth and stuff, but for me, it's Conan the Barbarian. I mean, you know, I'm a big Conan fan, Fabio, so I'm... The world has been dying and dying and grabbing and clawing for a really good 1/6 Conan. We have never got that. We've got a couple of customs and a couple of kit batches here and there using the Fiken body and all the rest of that, but... To see you guys and what you guys are gonna do and to have already a couple of your figures already, I am beyond excited for that Conan. And I'm not even gonna ask what Conan you're going to do, because any one of them are going to be good. But I mean, I think A Battle of the Mounds Conan would be nice, because he comes with the fur and the helmet and the tailoring and the hair and all the bits and bobs, and I think you can really go on a showpiece run with that. But of course, you know, the orgy battle paint Conan would be good too, or Conan, any of the Conans really, even the Pit Fighter Conan would be good. You could honestly do about three or four figures from that movie on Conan.
I can't tell you, because it's not a secret. I mean, we are just... We talked about with Heroic Signature. We made a brainstorming about what they like, what we like. Mm-hmm. So basically, will be three different versions.
Hey, work it. I'd rather probably list them all there. And of course,
I was just going to say, I mean, I've been an online kind of friend of Dario's for years, and a sparring partner. We often agree and disagree on stuff, but at the same time, if you just look at his stuff that he's created himself over the years, I would imagine that I could be a pretty good insight as to what he would like to create. And It's pretty much every single version of Conan you've ever seen.
Mm. All right. So if you had one, if you guys
indeed.
Had one, sorry, go. Sorry, Fabio, go ahead.
No, I mean, indeed, you know, that Dario is part of the team. So when I told him that we are going to do a proper Conan, wow, I mean...
He lost his mind, didn't he?
Actually, I think it was an heartbreak. He say, oh, please, tell me he's not joking. No, I'm not joking. No, you're serious. I'm not joking. And then he told me, okay, I'm going right now to book for an ink that I want to make on my shoulder, a big Conan logo. Okay.
Nice.
True, I mean, he made this one-of-a-kind Conan from like 12 years. Mm-hmm. The first one was in 2012. His first custom of Dario was 2012, and it was Conan.
Nice.
And so he keep doing this one-of-a-kind figure. Almost all of them was for his own collection. Nice. But yes, so is involved, of course, in the creation, in the artist direction also, because he's the biggest Arnold Schwarzenegger and Conan lover that I never meet in my life.
I'm sure I'm not far behind him on that front, I'll tell him.
Well, I remember seeing the pictures when he met Sly in, you know.
Yeah, he was made up with that, wasn't he? That was cool.
I've never seen anybody grin so wide.
It's two heroes. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. Are the two heroes of Dario.
That's very exciting.
I can tell you that for sure one of the version of Conan will be the one with war paint.
Yes,
one
of
good. Now you will discover.
Have you been working with Heroic Signatures on these at all? On these Conan ones?
Yes, of course.
Good.
It's the Heroic Signature license, so we're working with them.
Frederick
and Jay.
Ah, good. Okay, cool. Yeah, I know all the guys over there. Yeah, I know all the boys over there.
They're so nice. We meet them. I told you, we tried the deal for 2 years with them. With no success. Then we invited them to the San Diego Comic-Con, the last one, the last July. We had, honestly, a very great stand.
Good.
We had a really great booth. And when he say, oh, let's do this deal. I'm not
joking. Good. Okay, good. Exactly. He saw what you guys were doing. It was just really impressed and went for it kind of thing. So we better end up the show, lads, and we better round thing up. So, Mike, you've established now that you would like that thing is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And I have one more. Now we didn't mention this, but we're talking about Universal Monsters.
Yeah.
Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Oh yeah. You
have to have one of those.
Of course, I mean, now we have this, we are partnership with SD Toys. If you see the poster of the teaser, there is this big logo named SD Toys Collectible.
Yes, that's right, yes.
They are a Spanish company that they have an exclusive Universal Monster for Europe, and they do totally different stuff. Totally different spot, like PVC figures, small figure, all things, very nice things. But that because they are part of, you know, that the we are part of this group named Cosmic Group, that is one of the largest distributor in Europe of or collectible. They have an office also in UK, in Nottingham.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're a big one. I mean, it's great work with Cosmic Group. And these guys, as the toys, are a part of Cosmic Group also. And so often we meet these guys of as the toys in the fair. Often we also share the booths. So the one time we say, oh, you have the license, the exclusive for all Europe and UK and all these countries. Why don't, I mean, we you will give to us the opportunity to develop for you. And they say, oh yeah, why not? That's a great idea. So we started to partnership with them. So at the moment, I mean, for at least 3 years, I think we'll partner with them for the Universal Monster line. After Frankenstein, we'll make the Mummy and then the Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah. But the plan is to make all of them. So for sure, the Wolfman with Lon Chaney and the Monster of Black Lagoon. I mean, is in the plan. Let's see what happens in the next year.
Excellent. Can I just say something? Personally really love to see it. I don't know whether you're ever considering moving into quarter scale as well, and I know this doesn't really work because it's not even 1/6 or quarter scale, but I'd really love to see a 1933 Kong done properly with a kind of like in the same way as like Hot Toys are doing Chewy these days with an invisible armature, kindly so you can move it with the mouth and the eyes. That would just be like a dream.
Star Race got that license though, don't they, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think Star Race is doing I mean, I love Kong. And yes, totally different scale of Kong would be great.
Yeah.
Make a proper 1/6 scale Kong.
Yeah. In scale with everything else.
That was what I was saying, like, you know, I can imagine at 1/4 scale, although it's not 1/4 scale, it's just, you know, 20 inches tall, but it would just be like an absolute dream come true.
So would that be your license then? You'd like, you'd like to see them? Any other license you'd like to see from them, Jeff?
But yeah, what else?
I mean, the one that we've always wanted to be done officially is Blade Runner.
Hey!
You know, yeah. Blade Runner done properly, both films, but is an absolute dream.
Impossible to do it.
I know.
We don't have the talent for Harrison Ford. I mean, he never gave the agreement to do his likeness. So, not easy. I mean, there are so many great movies that will be great to make. The Bram Stoker Dracula or Braveheart.
Mad Max is my one.
Mad Max. I mean, there are so many that will be great, but unfortunately, the actors never give the rights to do it. So,
you know what I want? Who knows? I want a 1/6 scale auntie from Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
And another, if we're going to go back to Labyrinth, I'm a massive fan of Brian Froud, the illustrator that kind of created the universe that it was all set in. He also did Dark Crystal. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of that whole universe I'd love to see explored. But again, I know it's really geeky. It's very cult. It's very
deep
niche.
Cuts.
But yeah, good stuff.
we have the license of Dark Crystal.
Yay! Okay.
Hello. Skeksis. I've still got the old sideshow figures,
It's not announced yet, but we signed the contract for Dark Crystal 2. Maybe will not be an action figure, but definitely will be a resin something, or 1/4 or 1/6 or 1/10. We'll just still not. I mean, we have the license. We're still brainstorming what to do with Dark Crystal. Mm-hmm. But definitely want to do something with Dark Crystal, because when we made the license with Jim Henson, we asked for Dark Crystal too, because I remember the movie.
It's just such a good, it's one of the earliest fantasy movies that we grew up with, kind of thing as well. It's so impregnable. But there you go, lads. We are sharp out of time here, kind of thing. And that's been absolutely brilliant. Fabio, thank you so much for coming on the show. I mean, was there anything else? No, I mean, just so folks know, you need to go on to causticplastic.com. And right now, you can pre-order. The new pre-orders are, as we've mentioned, are the London After Midnight. Is the Joker inspired by him? London After Midnight.
I think, he just inspired so much, didn't he? The look.
Okay.
But the Joker was inspired by another movie that I don't remember in English. I think the Man Who Laughed.
The Man Who Laughs.
I think I know the picture. Yes, that rings well.
Another black and white.
This would be a great license to take.
Yeah.
This would be a great license to take. Not sure if it's easy, because for sure you have to find the actor family if they have some estate or whatever.
Yeah.
Not easy, but I really love the look of that movie.
Yeah.
Really.
Cool. And of course, the next one, then the next pre-order, then, and so the pre-orders are starting. London Art Mania is actually going up for pre-order actually at the end of the month. So that's perfect. Right, yeah, right on Halloween night, boys and girls. So London Art Mania, the pre-order for that is going up on Saturday, the 31st of October. The pre-order for Phantom of the Opera is up now. That's the deluxe version. For all you collectors out there, you need to get in under on the deluxe versions if you want. So if you want to get these dioramas, you got to get the deluxe versions, and you need to get in there quickly, because the deluxe versions do tend to sell out fast, if I'm not mistaken, Fabio, don't they? People like their dioramas that you're doing.
That's true. Exclusive version, they go sold out very fast generally.
And of course, just for collectors as well, it's always better to buy from the stores that make them as well, you know. I'm always encouraging people to go to the Frigelico. It does everyone better when you buy directly from the actual makers as well. Of course, we got Toshiro Mifune. He's coming. He's kind of like a two kind of a figure kind of a thing. You kind of make two looks out of him. So he's off for pre-order right now as well. Chuck Norris from Missing in Action is off for pre-order. The Hammer House of Horror of Dracula is I think that they're pretty much sold out now, aren't they, Fabio?
Totally sold out.
Totally.
We just left 10 pieces of the exclusive version of Van Helsing. Everything else is gone.
So there you go, folks. Yeah. But as we've mentioned, we've got the Maestro line coming up, and that's absolutely exciting. And not to continue blowing smoke up your ass too much or any of that, but as I said earlier, it genuinely is lovely to see a homegrown company producing really like high quality items that have got great bodies. The build on these is sound, and doing licenses that are genuinely exciting. I mean, you must have been blown away by the response when you posted your Maestro advert, Fabio. I mean, the response, especially, like, you saw how Jeff and Mike just lost their shit over flipping Labyrinth.
Yeah, I mean, the response was great. I'm very happy. We have so many hardcore fans. Honestly, I'm a very lucky person.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it's exciting times ahead. Well, there you go, folks. We're gonna love you and leave you. Fabio Varese from Caustic Plastic and Infinite Statue and Collectibles, thank you so much for coming on for us today. We hope you enjoy your Halloween. Are you gonna do anything? On Halloween? Are you gonna go dressing up or anything?
Oh yes, I will. I will have a great Halloween, because we'll be from the next week. We'll have our booth at Lucca Fair, that is the biggest. Italy, and will be for all the week long, so my Halloween will be at the Lucca Fair.
Excellent.
Never went to visit Lucca. It's a beautiful.
No, I need to get over to Lucca, but you know, hopefully I'll get over there sometimes when I'm doing bit for Zeta stuff, and I know I'm doing the Heroic Signature stuff as well. So maybe when those lines really start getting a bit more out there, a bit more, maybe I'll get over there eventually. Hopefully, and hopefully you might see me in a booth, not my own booth, but maybe over me in a booth. Actually in a booth kind of thing. But yeah, no, I'd love to go to Lucca, because it's near Lake Como. That's near Lake Como, for crying out loud, you know. So you want to get over there. If it's good enough for George Clooney, guys, it's good enough for us. But there you go. Fabio Varese, thank you for joining us. Mike Crawford, thank you for joining me as always, sir.
No problem. I gotta go put on my devil horns now, so I can go out tonight as Satan.
Your outfit is bloody amazing. Mike is absolutely brilliant. Jeffrey Parker, thank you once again for joining us. You doing anything for Halloween?
Funny enough, I am going out on Halloween with another famous Italian company, which I can't mention. But anyway,
Ferrari.
Just like to say, what an absolute pleasure it was talking to you.
Maserati.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure. My pleasure.
Excellent. Thank you so much again, Fabio, man. Okay, folks. Thank you again for joining us. Follow me on Instagram. Go to causticplastic.com. Check out mwctoys.com as well for all of Mike's latest reviews. And as always, like with any high-end collectible, do handle yourself with care out there, especially this Halloween. Don't get egged. Don't get eat tomatoes. Watch where you're stepping. All right? There's spooky stuff happening out there. Love you, leave you guys. I'll see you on the next episode of Hot Toy Cast. Good night.